Anna Mowry, who is the state representative, and she's not the longest running state rep, but she's one of the longest running. She's been there for 20, at least 20 years. She heard me give a teaching on the southwest side over here a couple months ago, and after she heard it, she liked it because it was just teaching about how government is under God and how I understand my office and how I understand all office holders. And she thought it was powerful. She couldn't sleep all night. And she kept trying to think, how can we get this teaching to others? How can we get some of the other representatives and congressmen to hear this teaching? Because it's simple, but it's accurate. And so it kind of described what she's been doing or what she hoped she was doing, but she felt it was so succinct, so pithy, so exact that she wanted me to come down to Austin and get to meet some of the other representatives. Anyway, so I did. And so I told her, yeah, go ahead. There was she also had a second motive to bring me down, which was to be the pastor for the day. I would then give the prayer for the session on Wednesday. And so that's what we arranged. Well, the first one of going down and talking to a lot of the representatives and senators will have to be postponed. So I was fully prepared to do that. That's why I was preparing. It's not, you don't have to prepare to give a prayer, but you do have to prepare to give a teaching. The same one that I'd given to her, but a little better graphics, a little better presentation, because it's hard to sum up the whole of government on a piece of paper or a small thing. But if you can't do it, then you have nothing to say. So that's what I did, just to try to put it all down. And now I have it all down, so it's good. Anyway, she was delighted, and I came down, and now you're the first one. If you're the pastor for the day, you're the first one that opens up the session, and then they go to their business. And so I got my picture taken with the Speaker of the House and all that kind of thing. And I did meet about six, seven, eight senators and representatives, so that was also good, but I could have done that on my own. Nonetheless, she was very pleased, and so I had a good time to meet again with all the local officials that represent our area here. And we have a lot from this area, from Dallas-Fort Worth and the surrounding towns. So it was really a great day. So basically, I just shared, I'll say I shared it through the prayer. I shared a way that rebuked them if they didn't do what they were called to do. So it was said positively, but it was actually a negative. I was just simply sharing, this is what you must do if you're an officer. And that prayer will be printed up. It's in the record now. And then I got to spend a good hour with the Secretary of State, Roger Williams, whom I've known for years, and we've been close friends. And so Peggy went with me, and David Halverson went with me. So the three of us spent a good hour with him, and so that was also good. So it's always good to go down to Austin and hear the good things, but also to see they're not doing at all what they should be doing. And I'm sorry I have to say that, but they've become overburdened. They have loads of work. They don't read the bills. They don't have time to. Their staffs don't keep them well informed. They don't get in touch with the people. They listen to lobbyists, and so on and so forth. And I could see in talking to many of them, they're completely worn out, and they're completely without vision, and they're completely without real hope. They just simply go from day to day and do what they do, but they've lost all sense of being a trustee for the people's interests. And so your interests will not be forwarded ever. Like, I could see that. It wasn't depressing to me because it wasn't unexpected, but it's always sad to see them busy doing nothing. You know, they're going around looking good and smart and, you know, cute and nice. And the truth is that very little is ever going to be accomplished. So, you know, if it weren't for God, you would despair. But thanks be unto God, we have a God. And so there is hope. But the political system is so bought off and they're so tired. I can just see they have too much on their plate and too many people coming in, and there's just no way they're going to get justice done. So I am committed to teaching the few that are, you know, at least feel bad about that. Many of them don't feel so bad about it because they want to just be in, get their 12 years pay, and then you get, you know, your retirement for the rest of your life. So a lot of them just want to make sure they stay in for 12 years and they don't care. So they didn't really care in the first place. And so they just simply want to be reelected, and they'll do anything to get reelected to keep that pension. So that drives a lot of them. And of course, they do a lot of business there, so they make a lot of money, not from their salary, but from all the deals, all the people that they help who give them things. And afterward, most of them become lobbyists. And so they're paid huge sums of money from the gambling interests or the bank interests or the real estate interests or, you know, chemical interests or whoever has an interest, gas and oil and so on. And so, you know, it's a lucrative career if you can take the 12 years out. And that's the reality. The reality is they're not there to prosecute the people's business. So if anything gets done, it's a miracle. Because there's no, you know, even the ones that want to are totally, what would you call it, discouraged. They don't believe it can be done. I mean, I could tell just in talking to them. Well, we'll see what we can do, but you could tell they didn't have any faith in it. Because the people mean nothing to them. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be involved. It doesn't mean you shouldn't pray. It doesn't mean you shouldn't continue to be good citizens. It's just that you shouldn't have any illusions about public officials being servants. That's talk. It's not reality. So it was a great time. I had a great time. Always enjoy going down there. And there's always some wonderful people that are there that are truly believers. It just, they're not going to be very effective, though. Even the ones that believe deeply have no possibility. It's too much ambition, too much greed, too much ineptitude, too much laziness, too much human. Same as in the church. No different. So that's my report. And see, to me, that's not a negative report. That's just a realistic report of the way things are. And that's the way they will stay. I'm sure there's no change in view. But that's why I'm involved. I'm down there to disturb them, to provoke them, to stir them up. So there you have it. So I love it. I see, I like snakes, alligators, spiders. And you have to like trouble. You have to enjoy trouble. You have to believe that God is so big that you can laugh at all the troubles you face and overcome them. The only question then is whether you're supposed to be here or there. It isn't whether I'm supposed to be in a friendly place or an unfriendly place. There's only an unfriendly place. You can bury your head in the sand and pretend like everything's okay, but it's not. So if you're a Christian, who cares? We got another world. And besides, God will even take care of you in this world as long as you stay true to Him. So there you have it. That's my report. It was great. The prayer was well received. Lots of people came up afterward, thanked me. You know, it's always good to be reminded of what your job is, even if you're not doing it. It's always good that, yeah, that's why I originally got into this. I remember in the old days, you know, when I promised the people I'd do this. And I think a lot of them would like to, they just don't know how to. And so I would love to instruct them. I would love to show them how. And a lot of it has to do with your faith, but they would all say, a lot of them would say they have faith, and your character, the willingness to sacrifice and be a statesman rather than a politician. And so that it's not so easy. Bribery is always the problem with a leader, whether you're a pastor or whether you're a, you know, businessman or whether you're a politician. Bribery is what perverts justice. People can be bribed. It can happen in the home as well. You can bribe someone. You can bribe each other. There are lots of ways to bribe. If you'll do this, then I'll behave and do this over here. But you better do what you're supposed to do, you know. And you're bribing. It shows no faith in God. So I refuse to take a bribe. I won't take a bribe. It's not because I'm naturally unbribable. It's because I'm Christian. I believe that God supplies all my needs, so I don't really care if people like me or hate me or love me or abuse me or misunderstand me or think I'm clear. It doesn't really make any difference because I don't work for people. I don't live for people, don't work for people, so you can't bribe me, you can't frighten me, you can't put me down or put me up. I don't want what you have, and I can't lose what I've got. Whatever Jesus gives you, you have. If your marriage was given by God, you've got it. But if it was kept by you, you don't have it. That's all there's to it. You don't lose what you really have. The question is, who gave it to you? If you took it yourself, you can lose it. But if God gave it to you, you can't lose it. So the question is not, can I make that person stay, or can I shape them up or control them? The question is, God, is this your will? Because if so, I'm okay. That's all I have to know. I don't need to know how good it looks, how well I'm doing, or how well the other person is doing. All I need to know is, God, if this is your will, let it be so. All right. Hallelujah. Want some more good news? Amen. See, I think truth is good news. I don't want to solve a problem that doesn't exist. You can't solve problems that aren't real problems. You can only solve a real problem. So you have to know what reality is. You could solve any problem on the face of the earth as long as you knew what it really was, not what people tell you it is. Because often people will lie to you or only tell you part of the truth. They'll leave off the part that they don't feel applies to their best interest. So they often don't tell you, well, I also had an affair, or I also was in debt, or they just don't tell you all those things. So you're solving a problem that doesn't exist because you're thinking the two things they told you are true. But the four things they didn't tell you are also true, and they didn't want to tell you that. So it's very easy to solve problems. I never have a problem solving problems. It's easy to solve problems. Problem is to find out what the problem is. That's the problem. So thank God Jesus came down and he knew the problem. And I guarantee you, I know what the spiritual problem is. There's no question in my mind. I know exactly what it is, and it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with me. I know what my problem was, and I know exactly where I am in the process. Therefore, I really know what your problem is too. If you're a believer, it's just as hard to bring you out of the world as it is anyone else. And if you're a disciple, it's just as hard to grow you up as anyone else. There are no differences. There's only apparent differences, appearances that look different. But in fact, we're all the same. So now let's go over the scripture. This is the greatest truth ever. There is no other truth. What I'm going to tell you today, of course, I tell it every single time I get up. But that doesn't mean people grasp it. I know they don't grasp it. I'm sorry to say this, but I absolutely know that when I teach, people don't understand. You say, oh, no, I got it. No, you didn't. You got some aspect of it. But I know you can't put it all together because you have to know the whole of Scripture to do a part. To do one little part, you have to know the whole, and you can't tell the whole every time. So we go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. And you think sometimes that's so complex, and other times that's so simple. You're wrong on both counts. You're wrong. It's not so complex. It's extremely simple, but it's not so simple. It's much more difficult than that because you have to get over a lot of things in order to get it simple. Now, did I thoroughly confuse you? But it doesn't matter. And today I'll make it sound simple. It doesn't matter because in the end, everything simple is extremely mysterious. And everything complicated is extremely simple. So I'm going to reduce it today to three words, the three words I've written up there. And those three words are the only three words in the whole world. There are no other words. If you get these three down, you have everything down in the whole world. So I'll make it very simple. I'm going to do the simple, even though it will be much more complicated than I say. But still, it's extremely simple. The holiness of God, the mercy of God, and the power of God. Now, Michael, could I have you here? We're gonna take this table. We're gonna take this table. I'll use this as an illustration. We'll put this here. Let's see, where will we put it? Can you all see this here? Okay. All right. This will be the Ark of the Covenant. We'll make the box that I've drawn up there. And we've got to have a couple of angels on top. A couple of angels. So I'll use these. I'll use this as an angel. This will be an angel. All right, so now we have two angels. All right, now that's going to be the Ark of the Covenant. Now the Ark of the Covenant is about 2x4. It's exactly 27 inches, so it's a little over 3 inches. And it's exactly 3'9", which is 3 inches short of 4. So it's 2x4. Just to make it simple, it's about the size of the table, 2x4. Now, a 2x4 table, which is also 2 foot deep, it's 2 foot off the ground, so it's about 30 inches, got some little feet on it. So it's about 2x4x2. So in the scheme of things, it's not a very impressive size, but you can carry it, and that's the whole idea. This little Ark of the Covenant, or box, in which is the Ten Commandments, this little Ark of the Covenant is saying these three words: holy, merciful, and mighty. Holy, merciful, and mighty. And if you could remember those words and remember them in order, holy is always first, mercy is always second, power is always last, third. So if you could remember that, and I'm going to teach you today how to remember that, because we'll start at the bottom. The holiness is in the bottom of the box. The mercy is the cover. And the power is what takes place between these angels. Now, these angels form the throne of God. So God actually sits on the angels. Now, he's not a heavy, God is not too heavy, because he's spirit. So spirits are light. So the angels are okay with it. Doesn't weigh their wings down. Doesn't press them. But God will enthrone himself on his cherubim. So now, the power of God up on top, over the mercy of God, on top of the holiness of God. Another way of putting it. Don't look at holiness without seeing the mercy, which results in the power. In other words, you want the power to solve problems, your happiness, your safety. But that's based upon mercy, which is based upon holiness. Or another way of saying it, the death that takes place from the holiness is resurrected by the mercy and the ascension through the power. Or another way to say it, the example of the Lord, which fulfills the law, is saved by his office as Savior, which is the end of the law by shedding his blood, which is then fulfilled by the lording through the Holy Spirit, so that you're changed into his likeness. So you need the holiness to convict, the mercy to cover, and the power to strengthen. And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So all of you want to be like Christ. A disciple, when he's fully taught, will be like his master. So you want to be discipled or disciplined. That's on top. You want to be saved, what we call saved, which is really regenerated. That's the lid on the box, the cover. And you want to be convicted every day, every single day, not just once, daily, so that you repent. So the holiness makes me repent, the mercy makes me believe, and I obey because of the power. So, all three of these help me. They're all on my side. They're all good for me. The one kills my flesh. The next one resurrects me after I'm dead. And the next one enables me to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Beholding him, we are changed. So, you're not beholding him as holy. You're not beholding him as merciful. You're beholding him as holy and merciful and mighty. And therefore, you're changed. So, did you see the change? The holiness condemns my flesh, the mercy forgives me, and the power enables me to be like Christ. I had no love. He forgave me for having no love because he loved me, and now I love. Because he who loved me is in me, and he now lives through me. So you see, your death precedes your resurrection, precedes your ascension. So I want to follow Jesus. Death, resurrection, ascension, every day. Die with him, rise with him, reign with him. Die with him, rise with him, reign with him. Die with him, rise with him, reign with him. In the box, above the box, way up above the box. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the greatest ministry is not the work of the Spirit. The greatest ministry is not the work of Jesus the Savior. The greatest ministry is not the Father convicting me. The greatest ministry is all three of them doing what you need so that you repent, believe, obey. Repent, believe, obey. Repent, believe, obey. Now, where does it start? In the bottom. But it wouldn't be any good to start in the bottom if you never ended. There's no point in repenting for your sins if there's no salvation that follows it, and there's no power that finishes it. So it begins with your conviction, then it proceeds with your redemption, and then it finishes with your perfection. I like that. I will be like Christ. I will be made holy. You shall be holy as I am holy. Down here, I'm not. Here, I'm forgiven and imputed to be. Well, I'm still not. But here, I'm actually changed in my character and in my conduct so that I am. I'm not. I am by imputation or faith. Here I am in fact. But I can't get here without going here, without starting here. Now, did you see that? Now, I, again, I'm making it simple, but it's actually very complex, isn't it? Because you can see, even though you're following me, that you're getting mixed up, but I'll just repeat it. I'll repeat it 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. Many times we have to repeat it till you get it. So what's in the bottom? Okay, holiness. Let's all say holiness. Okay, what's on the top, the lid?
Mercy.
And what's on the above the mercy on the very top? The power. That's where the cherubim sit, where God is enthroned. And that's actually the work of the Holy Spirit up there. It's the Father who's enthroned, but the Father is enthroned to give you his Spirit. Remember it says the Father will pour out his Spirit? Jesus prayed that. Well, the Father and the Son happens to be there too because he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So the Father and the Son send you the Spirit. So the Spirit operates always, never on his own, but through the Father and the Son. And the Son never does anything except what pleases the Father, so it's only the Father who wills all of this. So finally, the Father in the box who killed you is the same Savior who forgave you, is the same Holy Spirit that enabled you. You see, this is all one God. It's all the same, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're not identical, it's just that they cooperate. So Jesus is part of the creation too. And as a holy example, because he did what the Father said. I mean, the creation is nothing more than Jesus. The creation is just simply the creation that was created in his image and likeness. Remember, Adam and Eve were originally created in his image and likeness. Of course, they fell away. But that's because God had freedom, and he gave them freedom so that, unlike a turtle, they have free choices. So you are condemned because everything you've ever thought and said and done is evil. That's the part we don't want to hear. We'd like to hear that a few of my thoughts were good. No, none of them. Well, a few of my emotions were good. I was once felt nice toward somebody. It's evil, completely evil. No. I had some good thoughts. I know I had some good feelings. No, God condemns them all because they're not perfect. So you're saving what he calls dung. You would depend upon the fact that I felt very nice toward that person. You're evil to the hilt. You say you're just fooling yourself. Well, I had a good, clear thought the other day. You're as confused as, you know, a cat and a dog, you know, whatever. You don't know anything you're talking about. Well, I at least wanted to do the will of God. No, you didn't. You didn't do anything. You only wanted your own selfish way. So, I'm sorry. That has to go in the box. So every day you have to start in the box. You don't just get saved once. You have to be repenting every day. Now, most churches do not teach this. They teach that you just repent one time when you get born again. It's not wrong that you must be born again and repent one time. What's wrong is that that's a beginning of a process. Because it isn't just spiritual repentance. It's also psychological and behavioral repentance every day. Even though I'm born again, I can still be mean at times. I can say some nasty things at times. I can do some things that are not helpful. Maybe they're lawful, but they're not really expedient. So everybody, every day, has to go and confess again. Want me to give you some scriptures? Okay. It says in 1 John 1:7-9, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. Now he's talking to a believer. But if we confess our sins, so this is not just getting born again. This is someone who's a Christian, someone who's a believer. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you don't just do that one time, you do that all the time. That's why it says confess your sins one to another. You don't do that one time, you do that every day. You do that continually. Whenever you sin, you confess. So every day when I wake up, I get in the box. And every day after I'm in the box for a while, and he kills my flesh, and I'm no longer proud, and I'm no longer strong and great and mighty and depressed and whatever else I am. Because even that's a sin, isn't it? It's a sin to be proud, and it's a sin to be depressed. Both. You can hardly make it. You get in that box, and you're gonna come up with something wrong. No matter what, you're not God. That's all it's saying in the box is you're not God. You're just not God. And so it'll bring something out of me. But every day I start out in the box till it kills me. And then I go up through the lid, get some mercy. Well, Lord, I guess there's nothing good that dwells in me. He agrees. He totally agrees. So he gives me the mercy. I forgive those that don't deserve it. Well, that's me. So he's glad to hear that I agree with him. I say the same thing he says. Homo means same. Logeo, speak. I same speak. I'm in the box. Jim, I see sin in you. Me too. Good boy. Okay. Now, what I want to hear is you're sorry. Okay, sorry. No, I'd like to hear it more convicting. I'm sorry. Well, don't just say it loudly. I mean it. I don't know if I am or not now. You know, so he's going to keep me in that box until I'm dead. Then he forgives me and lifts me up and resurrects me to a new life. And I know now whatever happens, it's not me. Because I knew who me is. Me is in the box. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I'm down that box learning that apart from him, I can do nothing. But through me, you can do all things. So I want to die here, I want to rise here, and I want to reign here. I want to die here, rise here, reign here. I want to follow Jesus. I'm following Jesus. Same thing he did. Die, then he resurrected, then he ascended. He died, then he resurrected, then he ascended. When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, I know what he means now. He means every day die with him, every day rise with him, every day reign with him. And I never have a day where I don't die. That means I spend a lot of time with Jesus. That's why I'm a happy person. I spend a lot of time until my old man is dead. And I reckon myself dead. And once I see that there's no good thing dwells in me apart from him, then I'm happy that I'm in him through the mercy of God. And then I reign with him. And I'm always happy. When I leave the prayer closet, I'm never, ever weighed down by sin, never depressed, never worried, never careful, never heavy. I'm light as a feather. I'm floating up, right up here with God is. By the way, God doesn't really sit on the cherubim. He doesn't really squash them. He doesn't sit on them. He just hovers above them because it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so God is enthroned in this spiritual, because he's a spirit. He's the Father of spirits. He's enthroned here, and you rise up to be with him and to reign with him from on high because you're seated with Christ, who's seated with the Father. So we're all three on the chair. You know, it's three of us sitting on the same chair. Wish we had a chair here. Here's a chair. And let's see if we can get this picture that God is sitting on the throne. He's sitting on the throne like this, and Jesus is on his right hand. There's not a lot of room up here, so Jesus is kind of like this. And then I'm sitting on Jesus' lap too, so I'm sitting on his lap. So we're all on the chair. I just want you to get the picture how intimate it is. It's a family. This sometimes my wife will come and I'll be sitting in a chair and she'll want to sit right on top of me. What are you doing? There's another couch over there. So, well, I just want to be close. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and me and you, we're all crowded in there like a family. Have you ever done that as a family? You know, you get all the kids and the grandkids and everybody all together. That's a family. Now, that's where God is taking you, to this intimacy, to this love. Beholding him, we are changed. You're not changed down there in the box. You're killed in the box. You're not changed through the blood. The blood only takes away the guilt, but it doesn't take away the power of sin. It takes away the guilt of sin, but not the power of the sin. The only thing that changes you up here beholding him. We're changed. Did you hear me? The presence of God changes you in your character and in your conduct, not the blood. You can be born again with the blood and still not changed in your behavior. You can be born again. Christians sin. If we say we have no sin, we call God a liar. Because God said you still have sin, even as a believer. Now, I want to start again. Let's say them. What's in the bottom? Holiness. Get in the box every day. Start in the box. God, good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. Now, that was way up here, see? I was pretending like I was way up here. Jim, get in the box. Well, I said hallelujah. I'm up here. Yeah, well, you start out in the box. God wants to be approached correctly. When you come to the king's presence, you have to bow first. You don't just come in, hey! You got to come in the way he says. So you have to come in humble. So he first of all starts you out in holiness. Then he raises you up through mercy. Remember how the king tilts his scepter toward Queen Esther? Remember that? Okay, that's the mercy. And then comes the power where she's told, whatever it is you request of me, it's done. Whew. Wow, that's up here. Most of us want to start here with power. God, give me power today. Lead me and guide me. Yeah, well, I'm not going to start you out that way. He'll start you out down here. Well, here's my love. My love will train you how to come into my presence. Come in through humility. If you're humbled, I'll exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, I'll humble you. So a lot of times you come barging in. Good morning! God says, Jim, come in the right way. Go back out and come in again. Do you ever have little kids just bang open your door? And they're just full of life, see? They just woke up and it's like Christmas for them. You know, it's like, yahoo! And they just come in and they don't have any law. They have no protocol. They don't know what any of the rules are. Little kids just don't know laws and rules. Hey, behave yourself. Get down. The little kids are funny. They'll come in and wake you up. Dad, Mom, what time is it? You know, and they're already up. And they're live. Their little kids are jabbering early. You ever notice that about little kids? They'll come in and they'll smell your bad breath and they'll go, Dad, you have bad breath. Isn't that funny? A little kid. Because you're just waking up, you see. And they're coming right up close to your face. And, ooh, you have bad breath, Dad. Don't you think kids are funny? They're so real. So when you come into God's presence, be a little bit like, you know, sober. You know, don't just come barging in on him. Now, his love will accept you. But you do have to learn how to behave yourself. There is a protocol. All right, so where do we begin? Down here in the box, okay? I could lift this up. You know, I could lift this up. I'll show you. You got to start in the box. Then we come to the cover. Then we go to the top. So what's down in the box? God's holiness. And that's where love starts. Love is holiness. I tell you, love won't start up here with mercy. Love starts with holiness. Most loving act of God is to expose you. And then to forgive you. And then to strengthen you. So starts with holiness. Goes through mercy, finishes up with power, majesty, glory. And that is what he's doing in your life right now. And then I also drew up there to explain this even further, this third part, because this is the part we don't even get to if you don't even do the first two. What if you don't do the first two? You know, we got to get here. He's got a rod and a staff. Now up here, he's going to lead you through the rod and then the staff, not the staff and then the rod. He's going to lead you with the rod, which puts you down the box and beats the tar out of you. See? And then he will lead you through his staff, which guides you and instructs you. How many know that you raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Fear starts, that's the rod. Admonition, that's the staff. You can't teach anybody until they're broken. You see, a lot of times you're teaching somebody and they're looking around and so on because they're not broken. Every teacher knows this. Hey, Johnny, you know, and they don't know what you're even talking about because they have no fear. You got to, first of all, teach character to people, break their will till they do what you say. Hey, sit still. Just sit still. Sit down. You have to, that is a lot of a teacher's time is not in teaching a subject, but it's in breaking the will of the student. Hey, where are you going? I have to sharpen my pencil. You don't sharpen, you raise your hand on that. Now sit down in your chair. And you have to break their will. You have to train them. That's what first grade is all about, training them. So you have to have the rod and then the staff. The staff is going to instruct you in the things of God. Here it is, beholding him. Now, that's not a rod. Beholding him, we are changed. So how beautiful he is. Well, that staff is my guidance. That staff is my instruction. That staff is what helps me out. But I first of all have to be rotted because I got too much wiggle in me. I got a lot of wiggle in me. And that wiggle's got to be stopped. Whoa, stop wiggling. Margaret is a teacher in some school system. I don't even know what the name of it is. What is it? It's not Burleson. What is it? Crowley. I got to remember that C. I got to remember. Anyway, and she has, I don't know what she has, first grade or third grade or some grade. And she teaches her children utter discipline, unlike the others. And she just teaches them how to be disciplined in there. And they totally respect her. So the other day, she went off to do something. She told her children to stand in the hall and the bell rang and you get to go out and do all this stuff. But everyone's a melee in the halls and so on and so forth, and she's going over to another thing, and when she comes back, her kids are still standing at utter attention, and the whole school is amazed that these kids will not move because she's fierce. You do not wiggle. You do not move. You don't pee. You do nothing. And then she's taught them all how to raise your hand. And no, you don't speak out of turn. She's really rough. I don't know where she picked that up. I don't know where she got that. And they absolutely adore her and love her. They just think she's the neatest. Did I tell you that we're, you know, last Christmas, she told them, now if you're real good today, I'll let you whisper and color. And so all the other kids are, you know, running all over the school building because it was Christmas time. But her kids were, you know, coloring quietly and they got to whisper. And they just thought it was the greatest because she wasn't making them, you know, toe the line. And they said to her later, Mrs. Borchert, this was the greatest day we've ever had. Because they got the whisper while they colored, the other kids running off the walls and so on. The other teachers marvel, how do you get your kids to do this? Because, you know, you can't spank them, and, you know, how do you get that? But she was raised that way, and so she expects others also to toe the line. Do you hear what I'm saying? Where the other teachers just marvel, is, you know, well, our kids don't seem to behave. She has troubled kids. I mean, very few of them have parents, and, you know, one's in jail, and one's a lesbian, and one's a, you know, homosexual, and, you know, they're all over the map, their parents. But that means nothing. When she gets them in that classroom, you are mine. So she raises them with an iron fist. But she can teach them everything. Why? Because the rod preceded the staff. Did you see that? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you see that? That's up here. That's upstairs. That's after the mercy, and that's after the holiness. You see how it worked? Even though I was saved, first of all, I repented. Then I was saved. Now I'm being discipled through the rod and the staff. I go back every day and start again down in the box. In fact, I can do it 2 times in the day. I can go in and confess my sins twice. Yeah. So, you know, you actually could visit there more frequently if you want to. But, you know, God really isn't trying to teach you everything every day all the time. You can't teach children too many things. So he doesn't actually get all your sins. Have you noticed that? That you have a few that he hasn't found out yet or shown you yet? It's because you haven't even learned the other one. He's not going to teach you a new thing until you've learned the old thing. So everything starts in holiness, then proceeds through mercy, and then ends up in power, majesty, glory. Isn't that great? Do you see it? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Father, holiness, Holy One of Israel. He's the one that exposes your sin. The Son, he covers your sin with the blood of Jesus, and you believe in it, you put your faith in it. And then the Holy Spirit, he's the one that enables you, guides you, leads you, trains you, disciplines you, shows you Jesus, and that's how you grow. So you will grow to be a mighty man of God, because that's the purpose of the box, to show you what you're supposed to be. But I'm not. Every little kid is not what they're going to be when they grow up. They play nurse, and they play whatever they play. You know, when I grow up, I'll be a fireman. I'm going to be a soldier. I'm going to be, you know, and they're going to be something. And little girls mostly play with dolls, so they're going to grow up and wear nice dresses, and they comb their hair and burp them, and they do all those things because that's what they're going to be when they grow up. And, of course, there's those that want girls to change their, you're going to be the President of the United States, so they play with the President of the United States. You know, it's just the way we do it. But I don't care how much you try to train a girl to be the President of the United States, like Hillary, she's going to grow up to be a woman, that's all. She's going to mess up her life and mess up her family if she isn't content to be a mother and to be a good wife. If she's too ambitious, she's going to lose her husband. Did you hear what I just said? So you got to decide, is it career or is it, you know, family? And you have a daughter, you need to raise them. And you need to be there and not just be, you know, a trophy or a career person. But anyway, whatever a person does. The point is you have to go through this every day. Is I don't get to decide. I have to get in the box until God teaches me that, Jim, you know nothing, feel nothing, see nothing, know nothing. I have to become a nothing. And I hate being down here in this box, because down here you get beat all the time. You know, and I'm down here in the doghouse, you know, get in the box again. I was here yesterday. You stay in there until I get all the sin off of you. Got a little bit left, I think. You know, and so you need a lot of instruction. How many know it takes a long time to instruct children? So you have to start every day down there humble. Get on your knees. Get down. Get down. Get in that box. Cover it so you can't even hear you. You know, and you can't hear all your opinion. You have too many opinions. You want to talk too much. How many are big talkers? Don't raise your hand, but big talkers, you know, you always want to say something. Well, let me throw in my opinion here. Who wants to hear your opinion? It doesn't help anything. Well, I just want to put in 2 cents. We don't want your 2 cents. Amen? So every day it starts with holiness. Let's say it, holiness. Then it proceeds through mercy. Anybody who's been beat up through holiness will get the mercy. He didn't come for sinners. He came for, for the righteous. He came for sinners. So as soon as you admit you're a sinner, that's all he wants you to do is just admit it. Don't change anything. Don't feel bad about it. Just get in there and get your whipping. And just come out and say, okay, I was naughty again. I've been naughty every day of my life. You too, Barb? Praise God. Judy? Praise God, Barb. Oh, praise God. So we got four of us. It's great. I mean, I just am, I'm incorrigible. I mean, I don't learn. I just don't get it. But, because he's forgiven me and shown mercy to me, even when I admit, okay, God, I did it again. I exaggerated again. I mouthed off again. I was hasty in judgment again. I had to say it again. I spoke up too fast. I wasn't driving within the limit again. You know, I mean, every day I have to go through it again. I've never had a day when he said, perfect. I never get the star. I never get, you know, you look at all the kids' names with the stars and the little clouds and stuff they get. Mine is always, got a pink slip again. But I get in the box, he whips me, beats me, and then immediately he shows love to me. I like the love part. I don't think my kids ever look forward to spankings. But whenever they got one, they always immediately got love. Not, you didn't go home to your room and think about it. You immediately were hugged. I mean, just immediately. As soon as I spanked them, I immediately took them up into my arms, and we held there for a long time. If they were crying or if they weren't crying, didn't matter. Immediately. And I think the kids like that. There's something powerful when you're crying and you're holding on. There's something powerful about that. There's a bond that takes place. Is the one that just spanked you is the one that loves you. I didn't spank you to hurt you because I hated you. I spanked you to show you how much I love you because I hate the bad deed you're doing because it'll hurt you, not me. It's not hurting me. I'm not spanking you because you broke something of mine. I'm spanking you because breaking things is not good for you. Did you hear the difference? I didn't spank them because they were making too much noise in the house for me. I spanked them because they were making too much noise in the house and it's not good. But it isn't so that I'd have a more pleasant life. That's not why I spanked them. As far as I'm concerned, go yell and scream and run around. I like it when kids run around. We got a school across the way. And kids are run. As I was driving this morning, I just saw the kids running and I just thought, kids love to run. They just love running. And they're just all, they must have been first graders or kindergartners or something because they're just running everywhere. You know, and they're wild and screaming and yelling. The playground is the closest to my home. The school building is further off. But there's a huge playground they've got. And they just yell and scream, and they love it. They just, to get out, they're just so excited because they've been disciplined, see? They've been in that box. And then you let them out. It's wild. I love it. I think it's great. I love watching kids. Don't you love watching kids? The grandkids, you know, playing and tickling each other and poking and just all that stuff. They're just full of energy. I marvel at energy. Don't you? You know, I used to have a lot of energy. I'm like that bunny thing that runs down. You know, and I don't know how to get the energy back. You know, I'm eating muesli. That doesn't do it. Trying to get enzymes through the grape juice, Welch's grape juice, the highest in enzymes. I'm trying to drink that. You know, see if I can get my energy back. I think it would help to get 8 hours sleep. I think that is a problem right there. I'm not getting the 8 hours of sleep. Anyway, get in the box every day. That's your favorite place to start. Just go immediately into the holiness and say, God, I'm not like you. You're perfect, I'm not. That's all he wanted. Don't fix up. Don't feel guilty. Don't change anything. Just get in the box and admit it. You get in there, and he gives you a whipping down in that box. That's great. That's your Father who loves you. And immediately he picks you up through the ceiling here, through the little cover, and he gives you his love, his mercy. I love it. I look forward to that. God, okay, I've been bad. Do you still like me? Mm-hmm, I do. You spanked me. That was for your behavior, not for you. That's because I loved you. I spanked you because I loved you. Do you ever notice that the righteous have troubles? The reason they have troubles is because he loves you. It's not because the bad guy's powerful. God could stop the bad guy. It's because he loves you. If he loves you, remember Jesus? He sent his son down. Jesus, go downstairs and you're going to have a lot of trouble down there, but go ahead. It's because he loved him. And Jesus said, okay, this is why I came. I came to be beat up. I know that. I'm okay with it. Because I know the Father's merciful and I know he's mighty. And I know I'll resurrect and then I'll ascend. I know this is not my, I'm just a child here, but I've got a destiny up here. And I know whatever it takes to get me through, he'll get me through. Because he's a good father. You see? So the Father's enthroned on high, and the Son, the Savior's right there, and the Holy Spirit in you, in me, bringing you to the Son and bringing you to the Father, keeping us all together as a big family. He's going to get us every day, so I trust him. That's why I go into the box voluntarily. I'm not at all worried or afraid or, you know, thinking, oh, why me again? It's good to be beat. The Bible says it was good when I was afflicted by the Lord. I was instructed. It was good to have his rod so that I got his staff. I want the rod of affliction, correction, discipline, so that I can get then the staff of guidance, instruction, blessing, beholding him. See, when I'm following him with his staff, that's because I'm paying attention. But a lot of times I need the rod because I wander off over here. Wait, Jim, get back here. What? I didn't know where we were going. And Jesus was trying to lead me somewhere, and I was going my own direction. So he uses the rod to get me back. Sometimes he uses the crook of the staff to pull me back. Jim, thank you. And you see there, just his voice was enough. And I always train my children, not by the spanking stick, but by the tone of my voice. When I call you, I want you to come and stand like this in the doorway within about 3 feet of me. Yes, sir? So if they were way in the back of the house, and I call him, David, I didn't want to yell, David! I just wanted to say, David? Yes, sir? And you don't get the slouch. Now, I taught them how to do this. I mean, I did it when they were real little. I taught them, you don't come in, you know, you don't lean against something. You come in, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I taught them that. And so my kids are like that because I taught them that. If they didn't do it, I spanked them. That's how serious it is. But after a while, they just do it because they don't like the spankings, you know, so they learn. Yes, sir. Could you, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, whatever. Just my voice, my look. I tell you, a mother knows, some of the mothers know how to, you know how to just, I know, uh-oh, mom's getting, you know, upset here. I better calm down. She sees the note I'm passing. You know, okay, put that away. And so you should be, God should be able just to breathe, and you're responsive just like that. That's up here, isn't it? Otherwise, I got to go down in the box, get spanked again, learn the hard way, then get his mercy, because he doesn't spank me to hurt me, he spanks me to help me. Just separating my sin from me. And then he forgives me, and then what's he do? He's going to empower me, enable me. Why? Through his presence. Through his presence. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are... I'm at his right hand. Jesus is at his right hand, but I'm seated with Christ. Oh, I'm at his right hand. Isn't that amazing? Now, do you see how simple the gospel is? It's really very... For me, it's extremely simple. Every day I go and I want to see his holiness. Every day I go on, after I see his holiness, I want to see his mercy. Every day I go on, after I've seen his mercy, I want to see his power. Every day. I know if I want the power, I've got to go through the mercy. If I want the mercy, I've got to go through the holiness. So it's very easy. If I want something, I need something up here, I've got to go through here and there because I've learned his protocol. Jim, let's not start here. I do forgive you. Yes, you're right. But let's go down here and get spanked. Do you make those little noises? I do. I make those little noises, like little kids, like, you know, little impatient things like, why do I have to do that again? I'm a little, do you have complaints like that, little, do you have those? I do. I'm very good at those. I could be an actor. Because I'm very good at those little sounds. They're all made up. I just make them up. But they get me through. And they're ways of faking people out and stuff. And Peggy doesn't like the one where I go. She doesn't like that. She'll point that out every time. You ch at me, you know. She doesn't like that. That's disrespect. It does. It does. And she's got it. She's nailing me. Get back in the box. She put me right in the box. I was exalted. You see, I was quite of exalted. You know, and Jim, you're showing disgust. Get back in the box. So I have to go down in my box again. I have to get down low. This is good, isn't it? Peggy, she loves it. She loves getting me in that box. And I don't mind. She's right. I also agree with her. Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. Sorry. 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 So she said, you don't really mean that. No, you're right. I did wrong. I did wrong. Now, again, God doesn't care that you really mean it and all that. All he's saying is just get right. I'll leave you in the box until you get it. You're going to go through that thing over and over and over and over again until you get it. Isn't that wonderful of God? For the teacher to go over the same lesson 1,000 times until you get it. All right, 2 and 2 is 4. 4 and 4 is 8. 8 and 8 is 16. You know, you just keep going over it until you get it. That's how you learn your multiplication tables, your addition, your subtraction, you know, the verbs, the nouns. That's how you learn prepositions, you know. My kids all learned that stuff when they were little. They could rattle off 60 prepositions. And they had them in an order. They made a song out of it or something. I mean, the teacher did. And they all, and that was so great. I don't even know those things to this day of when, if, by, you know. And they had them all memorized, and they could rattle them off so fast. Don't. That's great. I should have paid attention. I should have gotten down and learned it with them. But it was great. I bet Peggy knows it. I bet if Peggy comes out, I bet she can say all the prepositions. She'll sing a song probably. She'll get them. But that's great discipline. The teacher goes over it. And the phonics, you know, A is for apple, B is for bell, you know, C is for cat, D is for dog. You know, they got those down. So they learn all their little sounds and stuff. Isn't that the way to learn? Same in the Bible. No, I'm teaching you today your ABCs. Holiness, mercy, and power. Holiness, mercy, and power. Holiness, mercy, and power. Death, resurrection, ascension. Ah, now I applied it not to God, but I applied it to you. His holiness causes me to repent. His mercy causes me to believe. His power causes me to obey. Ah, I thought his power would be the one that beat me. No, his power is not what beats me. It's his love. His love is the one that spanks me. His love is the one that forgives me. And his love is the one that empowers me. Ah, I get it. Love guides the whole thing. For God is love. Do you see that? Isn't that powerful? This is a God of love. You see, it's just as loving to put me down in the little box down below as it is to forgive me, as it is to empower me. It's all love. But he does it in order. So every day, here's how to pray, and you'll always get your prayer answered. God, show me if I have any sin. But he won't show it to you. Okay, then you learn this. Okay, God, don't show me my sin. Show me your love. Then he'll show you your sin. He'll show you his love by showing you your sin. Ah, so it's the love of the Father. It's the love of the Father that shows me my wickedness, not to beat me, not to spank me, just to show it to me so Jesus can take the spanking for me. See, as soon as he shows me my sin and I see it, he'll go, okay, now look at my Savior here. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He took the spanking for you. You mean you're not going to spank me? No, I just wanted you to see the sin. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You see how that softens you? Well, I thought you showed me so you could beat me. Well, no. Actually, I showed so I could beat Jesus. Wow. So the minute I see my sin, just see it, not change it, not feel guilty about it, just see it. Immediately, he shows me Jesus. And as soon as I see Jesus, beholding him, immediately, he empowers me. And I hardly spend any time. I didn't do anything. That was so easy. His commandments are not burdensome. Do you all see this? This is so powerful. That's why the legalist mislearned it. He got in the box and said, okay, I'll try my best. That's not what he wanted. He wanted you to try your best. He wasn't wanting you to try anything. He wanted you to die. In other words, relax. When I say die, that's another way of saying just relax. Let Jesus do it. Let Jesus die for you. Let Jesus rise for you. Let Jesus reign for you. Remember he said, when I die, you die. When I rise, you rise. When I reign, you reign. Do you see it? That's what the Bible's all about, this perfect identification with a loving Father. He's just, all he's doing is bringing you all into his family. And the only reason you go in the box is not to get beat up. It doesn't hurt. The only reason you go in the box is to see how Jesus is going to get beat up. Well, praise God, he already took the beat up. You're not being beat up today. So when I see all this, it blesses me. It helps me. Now, what I taught you today was so simple. It's embarrassingly simple. But it's too powerful. And it's what I do every single day of my life. I do it all the time. Lord, show me your love by showing me my sin. Then show me your salvation. Then show me your maturity, your discipline, your discipleship. So I've got it all. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isn't the Holy Spirit a comforter? Well, so he's got a rod and a staff. Holy Spirit's got a rod and a staff. You see, now the Holy Spirit uses the rod on his beloved. Remember, a father chastens the one he loves? Now, Jesus took the bad part. He died way down in that box. He was the end of the law. Whatever the law wanted, I didn't perform it. Jesus took it for me. Then he gave me the mercy. He took my pain, gave me his pleasure. He had heaven, I had hell. Then he went, took all the hell for me, gave me his heaven. I couldn't believe it. Wow, that just makes me praise God down here, here, and here. I just thank him for everything. Well, thank you, Jesus. I can't believe it. I wouldn't even have seen my sin if he hadn't shown it. Then I would have never known how to get salvation if you hadn't given it to me. Then I would never have any power if you hadn't done it through me, because I didn't have any love. I didn't have any anything. Apart from you, I can do nothing, down the box. But with you, I can do all things. So really what I got is Jesus. That's all. All God's ever been trying to teach the world is I love you. So the Father has created us as children. We went astray, but he didn't kill us. He not only then instructed us what we did wrong. That's the first thing. He instructed us. He wanted to show you what we did wrong. Not to make you change, just so you can see it. No, that's not what I meant. That's not what I want you to do. Same as you do as a parent. But your hope is they'll grow up to be like you. So you instruct them, okay? And there's discipline, but it doesn't hurt them. A little spanking stick on the bottom doesn't hurt them. Then you forgive them, love them, hold them, and then you instruct them, guide them, lead them till they become like you. You spend a lot of time with them. If a child is misbehaving, spend time with them. It would be easy. It's so easy. If I saw anybody, all I got to do is go and spend time with them. It'll correct anything. Did you know that? Do you understand what I'm saying? If one of my children misbehaved, I would immediately not blame them. I would immediately say, you know what? I haven't spent enough time with Peggy. I haven't spent enough time with David. I haven't spent enough time with Margaret. I haven't called my daughter recently. You know, I would immediately put all the weight on myself, not on them. It's, why haven't you called? I wouldn't do it that way. I would immediately, no. The fault isn't with them. It's with me. I wasn't a good enough example. I haven't spent enough time. Peggy wanted to go to the movie yesterday, and I didn't want to go. And so she said, Jim, this is not for your pleasure, mine. But why do I have to go? Just go by yourself. No, you're going with me. We are husband and wife. I hate these movies. I don't want to see it. So we went there, and as the movie came on, the whole thing broke down. And they gave us our tickets back, and, so we got to come home. So I thought, well, thank God. God is on my side, on this one. And you know what happened? She said, no, I still want the evening for us. She just wouldn't let go, And so she was right. She was right. It's powerful. Just spend time. What does God do? Spends time. He just wants to spend time. Every day he's saying to you, come on, trust me. Spend some time with me. Don't clean up. Don't fix up. Don't do all the stuff you're doing. Just spend time with me. Get in my word, get in my prayer, get in praise, get in my presence. Just sigh with me, cry with me, anything. Just be with me. That's all. That's what changes you. Isn't this a good God? That when he exposes your sin, he doesn't destroy you. That when he forgives you, he doesn't change you. He just forgives you. And then when he changes you, it's all him. I love it. I didn't do anything. I never did anything. The whole thing was so easy. I didn't do anything. I didn't expose myself. I didn't cover myself. I didn't fulfill myself. I didn't do anything. Do you see how beautiful it is? Die, rise, reign. He made it so easy. We make it so hard. That's because the devil's in there. He's trying to get me confused, trying to get me, look at the holiness of God never hurts me. It'll hurt the devil. But the devil is trying to get me to think, don't go in the box, don't go in the box. Why not? That's my Father's box. That's a holy box. I'm going to get in that holy box. Because why? It'll just show me what I should have done that I didn't do. But it's all right. He forgives those that shouldn't, you know, didn't do what they should have done. And then what'll he do? He'll change me so that I want to do what I should have done, which I didn't do, which he did for me. But now I'm doing it because he lives in me, and he's doing it through me. Huh, there you have it. So everything is good. Good, good, good. Glory, glory, glory. Holy, holy, holy. Love, love, love. Grace, grace, grace. Mercy, mercy, mercy. The whole thing is always the same. How simple, how beautiful, how precious. And not only that, once you see it and don't do anything about it, just see it, he'll then fix it when you're not looking. He'll fix it. Now, I know you can say you're sorry and all this stuff, but I'm just simply saying, even if you don't do anything, he'll still fix it. And you don't even know how he does it or when he does it, but he'll just fix it because you're at peace. And for some reason across 4,000 miles or wherever they are, they get the benefit of that. They know. They somehow know. I'm just telling you, it's so powerful with God. There's no time or there's no space. This transcends time and space. Something powerful. When you forgive somebody, it's powerful. You don't know how powerful it is. So when you get in the box and he forgives you, then it'll be easy for you to forgive others. And what happens? They do the same thing. It just keeps going because you've opened up now something that was blocked. A lot of people hate the holiness of God. I mean, I would say 90% of the churches don't teach the holiness of God. You know, they teach maybe it's for the Jews or something, or Jesus died on the cross for you or whatever. They don't want to teach the holiness is for you. But it's actually for you. It's your best thing. You want to start with holiness. You don't want to. But it's just a misunderstanding of what holiness is. Holiness is wonderful. It just shows me how bad I am. It's good. Why is that bad? Why is it hard for me to say I was wrong? Why is that hard for me to say, you know, I did it all wrong, just like you did? That's just great. Well, of course, you don't have any reputation after that. You can't be proud after that and so on. But that's what God's after. You know, and all you got to say is, God, I've sinned. And he goes, no problem. I'll pay for it. Oh, whoa. I didn't expect that. I thought you were going to spank me. I thought you were going to beat me up because you're good and I was bad. No. I used my goodness to cover your badness. Oh, I didn't know that. That's the spirit of God, not the letter of the law. The letter of the law says don't do bad. But the spirit of the law says, but if you do, I'll kill Jesus. What? You'll kill Jesus? I thought you were going to kill me. Well, that'll kill you. What? How? Because when you see what he did because of what you did, it'll break you. And that's all I ever wanted to do. I just wanted to see, here's how much I hate sin. That cross, that's how much I hate sin. And that should have been you, but it'll never be you. Not as long as I'm God. Oh, man. that is so powerful to me, it breaks you. It just breaks you. It breaks you. Emotionally breaks you. Isn't that beautiful? So here's God. Everything he's doing is good. You see how God is good and God is great? This is his greatness. This is his goodness. This is his mercy. This is his power. This is his glory. This is his everything. It's so simple. It's so beautiful. This one picture is enough. You could learn everything in the Bible through that one picture. How can God do that? Because he's God. I could never come up with that. There's no teacher on earth that can come up with something so simple. A little 2x4 box. He's got the whole story right there in the 2x4 box. All of economy is here. All of politics is here. Poetry is here. Literature, art, music, everything. Everything in the world is right there in that little box. This convicts others to realize, I want to be holy. See, it actually puts them in the box. This puts them in the box because they realize, well, I'm not like that. But your response is not, well, you should have been. Your response is, you can be. Because that's where Jesus wants you. Yeah, come. Come. It's not painful. Yes, I went through a lot of hell. But you know what? It turned out good. And they can see that. Wow, how'd you get up here? The way you went, I don't think I could get there from there. It's like, well, if you do it the right way, yeah, you can. Actually, the pain in your life, best thing that ever happened to you. The sorrows in your life, the things, the troubles in your life, actually, they turned out to be a great blessing. The sin, even. Even God uses the sin in your life. He didn't tell you to sin, but he knew you would. But he can actually use even the sin to make you sympathetic to others. That's what blindness I've had, right? And therefore, when I see somebody else, I'm not so quick to judge them. Because if I didn't have that blindness, I'd judge them right away. So what's wrong with you? That's not hard. Just look at this. I'm like that. I am so like that. If something's easy for me, if it comes easy, I just can't imagine what's wrong with other people. What's wrong with you? Just, it's like, can't you see it? Well, I don't know thus and so. Well, learn it. See, I'm like that. That's naughty, isn't it? And when I don't know something, I was like, I don't know that. And somebody else could say to me, well, what's wrong with you? You know, why don't you learn it? Scott, your son, he's so gifted on the grammar of the Greek language and everything. I love it. I love all. He knows there's 27 uses of the genitive form or something or other. You know, I don't know any of that. But he doesn't just know about it. He actually can use it and say, no, 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 this is a, you know, objective genitive. And you know, I don't know what he's talking about. But I love it. Okay? So for him, that's easy. But for me, I can't even when I hear about it, I don't even want to. I'll just have him come. It's good. But when something's easy to me, I can't imagine why everybody doesn't see it. Why? I taught that so clearly. I want to shake them. Don't you get it? Are you like that? I am. It's wrong. It's evil, but I'm like that. But thank God, God's not like that. That's why he puts me in the box all the time. Jim, get in the box. What? What do I do now? You know. That's what I say in child raising. If a child just gets the concept, but he doesn't obey, he has no behavior. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, make my bed. Well, do it. You know. Now, to you, the doing of it proves they heard. And that's true, of course. But the truth is, for a little kid, they're going to hear it about 50 times before they get it. 100, you know, I don't know how many times. But it's going to be a long time. And then one day they get it. And it's like, what happened? You know, I tried to tell him 100 times. And you say, I said, don't speak until you know, whatever. But they do it anyway. And they just keep doing it. And they just keep doing it. You think, well, they're never going to get it. They got the concept. Just getting the concept, which is what you're saying, is now in the box. It isn't the behavior up here. It isn't even the wanting to or the faith down here. It's actually just seeing the concept that there is a thing called holiness. You're not holy. That's all. You're not holy. And if you can just get that, as Lord, I'm not. I don't know how to be. I don't want to be. I don't think I can be. You know, and you're just panicking over it. That's the beginning. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Like, I'm not like that, Jesus. I'm not like you. I'm not like God. I'm like me. It's a great concept. Just get the concept. But this too is a process, because once you rise above the table, You keep going up. You keep going up. So that's why it's the rod. Go back in the box. Start again. Get the mercy again. Learn it every day. Keep going. Day after 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 day. Until you finally get it. It takes a long time. So, well, I mean, I don't know how to say this in the right way, but I'm a good teacher. The reason I'm good, I know everybody doesn't like me. But still, I'm good. Because I will repeat it a million times. Because that's the way I learned. I'm only doing what I learned. You can only teach what you know. Well, I'm a slow learner. People think I'm a speed reader. I'm not. I am slower than anybody. I read so exceedingly slow, yet I will outread everybody. But I put a lot of time into it. Now, I don't just read. I take notes while I'm reading. I write in the book. Then I write on pieces of paper. Then I go back and read it again. I am super slow, but when I'm done, I devoured it. I didn't just get acquainted with it. I didn't just learn it so I could repeat some points in it. I mastered it. In other words, I will not read a sentence until I master it. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I will waste incredible amount of time on one comma. Why's that comma there? How to put it there? You know, and I'm just chewing my, just like I do my food. I chew it. I chew a grape about 60 chews. Just one grape. So it takes me a long time to eat. Peanut butter, that's about 120 chews. I actually count, so I find out how long it takes me on different foods. Milk, you know, I don't just drink my milk. I actually chew. I chew everything. So I like to get all the nutrient out of it and mix it with whatever you mix it with, whatever. And I'm a big chewer. And so Peggy's done with her dessert before I've even begun on my meal hardly. You know, she's breathed hers in quickly, and, you know, I'm still eating. You see me, Judy, at Mark's house the other night. I just can't get through the meal. I'm eating, I'm enjoying every morsel of every bite. I enjoy it. But Peggy just wolfs it down, tries to get some more. You know, not me. I'm eating slow. That's why I don't gain a lot of weight, because it takes so long to chew. You know, even ice cream, everything, you have to chew it. The bulk of churches start at the mercy. Some start at the power. The modern ones now that want to get the big churches, they start at the power. All they're teaching is behavior. Right, it's just purely external. And when it collapses, they have nothing because they have no substance. So, you know, the evangelicals are here at the mercy level. They don't want to hear about their sin. They don't want to hear about it. They know they did, but they did that one time. That's over. Oh my gosh, I got sinned every day. I have to repent every day. I have to believe every day. I have to every day obey. Every day I have to repent, believe, obey. Repent, believe, obey. Every hour, every minute, every nanosecond, I'm always repenting, changing my mind, change my, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, I got that wrong. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I'm like that every day. Little kids are like that. They know when they're listening to you, they know they don't have it. They know they don't have it. Now, did you understand what I just said? But you know they don't. They don't. They don't. They're just doing like that because they don't want you to keep yelling at them. But actually, they're scared to say, I don't know how to make my bed the way you want. I don't know how to brush my teeth. I don't know how to put my clothes on. Kids just hate to say that because their older brother or sister did it, and they want to be like them, and they don't want to admit they don't know how to do it. And sometimes a little kid will go, I can't do it, Mom. And what they're saying is they're panicking because they know they're supposed to, and their older brother did it, and they want to do it. So you just have to tell them, it's okay, sweetheart. It's just like this. Make two bunny rabbit ears here, and you know. And so you have to teach them how. There's about 38 moves to tie a shoelace. You have to teach them all 38. You know, so you try to come up with little systems for little kids, and then they get it. And then they're so proud. If you come in, they'll untie their shoe and they'll show you, look, Grandma, I can tie my shoe. See, first you make a bunny ear like this, and you know, and they love it. See, little kids are so proud when they learn something. But they feel frustrated when they can't learn. And most parents are not patient. They won't take the time to teach little by little, go over it again, do it again, do it one more time, do it again, do it 10 more times. That's the only way you learn. You learn by mistakes. You learn by doing it all wrong. Go ahead and make a mistake. Make 1,000 mistakes. Make 1,000,000 mistakes. Jesus will pay for everyone. Because he loves you. The unconditional love of God never changes. He never changes. Here he is. He's ruling the whole world. All he wants is someone to come into his box. Hello, come here. Love, 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 love. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that repentance is every day. Believing is every day. Obeying is every day. All the time. Thank you, Lord, that you're patient with us, and that you will at length begin and then help us along the way if we turn aside, and then finish and complete. We begin, Then you correct us along the way. And then you perfect us so that we arrive at the goal. Thank you, Lord, that this is not our work. It's yours. What a gift. What a Father. How great you are. How good you are. Teach us thy ways. Instruct us. Discipline us. Show us. Be gracious to us. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in your holy and wondrous name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. I love you all.